from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
America, fat, uneducated, beer, flags, trucks, bald, screw the mutant learned people, no!
Right in the butt.
I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
Spit on that thing.
Reject a granny.
Reject a granny today.
Wow.
I give you two dudes swallowing wieners.
Yeah, put them in jail. Yee-hee.
They all suck balls.
Have you ever had a grown man take your pants off? The three most uncomfortable things that I've ever... the situations.
Look, I'm sorry. I was just a little drunk.
Well, you missed it. You were gone, but I had one... because you were gone on Monday. I had one over the weekend that is high ranking in my most uncomfortable, like, awkward situations.
Very odd.
I had a 10-year-old boy ask to take... He said he wanted me to take my shirt off. I didn't know...
Why?
I was at a pool party. The BTJ.
With 10-year-olds?
Yeah, well, the BTJ.
Pervert.
Yes. She's got like a family group. She calls it like they do family dinners. It's basically just a bunch of Asians that get together and like celebrate being Asian. Like Asian diversity. And then like for like profiling purposes, a white guy gets to show up. And it was at someone's house that had a pool. And so there was a bunch of kids that I didn't know who they belonged to. And there was a very thin 10-year-old-ish, 10, 11-year-old boy wearing Daisy Duke cutoffs. And I mean Daisy Duke cutoffs. You could see the pockets below where the shorts ended.
Is that a thing now with the kids?
I don't know.
Order says it is.
They were very tight.
Really?
They were very small, and he was doing a lot of frolicking in the water.
Yeah.
And I know it was...
I bet you like that.
I know it was innocent. Probably,
you like that?
I know it was probably just the tattoo, because I was wearing trunks and a tank top. So I was assuming it was probably just for tattoos, but I had not spoken a word to this child. Don't know who he was. Still don't know who he is. And as I was walking over from getting something to drink or something to eat, he says, looks right at me, and this is the entire conversation. Nothing has been omitted. Nothing has been added. He says, are you going to go swimming? And I went, oh, it wasn't that hot. If you remember on that Sunday, it wasn't very warm out. And I said, well, maybe if it gets hotter, because it was overcast. It wasn't a very nice day. And so I said, maybe if it gets overcast, maybe if like the clouds clear, if it gets warmer, maybe I will. And he looks right at me and goes, I want you to take your shirt off. And I didn't have an answer for that question. Have you ever had small child in Daisy Duke cutoffs ask you to take your shirt off?
It also didn't sound like a question. It sounded like a demand.
It did. It was not a, will you take your shirt off? He just said, I want you to take your shirt off. And I didn't have a good response. So I waited like a second or two as I was like, and then I just walked away. I never responded to him. I just walked. I just turned and I just kept going about my business.
Why didn't you give the kid what he wanted?
I froze. There, no, you can't.
Look, there's a lot of do's and don'ts at a kid pool party.
That's number one. If a small boy in Daisy Duke says, "Will you take? I want you to take your shirt off," the don't answer. And you certainly don't. And guess what? That shirt stayed on the entire time. I never went in the pool. It didn't happen.
We don't know. You didn't follow up with why do you want to see
me? No.
I wouldn't do little kids because that's, I don't know.
No. No.
That drop is awful.
It's awful. It's terrible.
I don't like
especially in this context. And again.
And he already had his shirt off.
And Daisy Duke's on. And he was twerking and dancing.
Yeah, look, this is a hot scene.
There was a lot going on. I'd already been like, wow. Why is that kid over there twerking? He was full on twerking. It was already a little weird. And then that happened. No. And again, I'm sure it's just a matter of he wanted to see the tattoos. And it didn't matter. It was top five awkward situations I've been in. It's right up there.
Sounds like a opportunity to me. Wait, strike that from the record.
Exactly.
We can't even joke about this.
No.
Feel right about it.
Well, I'm dead serious. What would you have done in that situation?
Well, I would have asked why.
You would have asked why?
Yes, absolutely.
If the answer is an answer you don't want?
Well, I want the answer. I'm too curious.
I don't think you do.
I am. I am a why guy. I will always ask why, and my curiosity would have killed me. I would have been like, what? Why? You little S-head? How about this? I'll take mine off. You put yours on.
And some longer shorts.
Yeah.
Nah.
Where's your mom? You can take your Halloween and shove it up your little kid ass.
I'm just here to tell you, there is not a handbook, there is not any online tutorial that prepares you for when you're at a barbecue pool function and something like that goes down. The whole day, it just throws you off. That point, you just go sit in the corner and... keep your tank top on.
Any part of you let go? Oh, maybe I should.
No.
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 Gear down for the kids.
Nope. Nope. Is it
one? Are you kidding me?
Because again, it never really got
maybe
hot.
Maybe it was Chris Hansen. Sounded hot to me.
It feels like there was some sort of sting happening there because there was like a pool house. I thought there cops waiting to spring out?
Entrapment.
Exactly. So at one point, because only the kids were really swimming. There weren't a lot of adults swimming. Because, again, it wasn't that hot. And kids don't care.
Well,
kids will swim no matter what.
That's another rule. You could do a whole segment on, unwritten or unspoken rules when you're at a kid's pool party.
Yeah.
One of them is don't swim with the kids unless they're your own kids and you're throwing them around the pool. Right? Yeah. You can't throw around someone else's kids, can you?
Well,
I don't think you can do that.
If you know the kids.
Well, maybe if you know them. But I'm saying, this kid, you didn't know this kid.
Yeah.
What if you said, hey, throw me.
No.
Take off your shirt and throw me.
Yeah. Because that's my thing. Let's say I do take off the shirt. Just again, guessing he wanted to see all of the tattoos. And now I find myself in the pool. Now I'm in the pool with a strange kid that I don't know wearing Daisy Dukes
exactly.
who asked me to take my shirt off. Now I'm in the pool. I think that's a crime.
You know what's next? He says, take off your shorts and dunk me.
I think I can go to jail for that at that point.
So yeah, you got to be careful.
The BTJ was hanging out. The pool had a built-in hot tub to it, like one corner of the pool. It was like a hot tub pool combo. And so a lot of the adults were hanging out in the pool, and I wouldn't put
in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah, in the hot tub. They were sitting in the hot tub while the little kids played in the pool. So I went and stuck my feetsies.
That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, so I stuck my feetsies in the hot tub. And at some point, the BTJ was like, are you going to get in? And I was like, nope. She's like, why? And I'm like, you know why. And she was like, oh, yeah. Because I was like, I told her, and she was like, ew. And that was, she was like, he just wanted to see her tattoos. And I said, I'm sure that's what it was, but I'm still not getting in that pool.
What if he
and I'm not taking that tank top off.
Well, what if he had said, can I see your tats? What if he had said that instead of take your shirt off?
I still think the answer is no. You can't take your shirt off if a kid asks you to take your shirt off. You can't do that.
Yeah, probably not.
No,
probably not.
You can't.
But what if a kid asked you to see your tattoos?
I would roll up. Well, I wasn't wearing sleeves. If I was wearing short sleeves, because mine hang out the bottom of my sleeves, I would have rolled up. And I'll do that with anyone. If someone ever says, "I want to see your tattoos," which does happen, I will roll up the sleeves. I will not take off my shirt for someone that says, "Let me see your tattoos." Let alone, like, a 10-year-old boy, a shirtless, wet, Daisy Duke 10-year-old boy who has been twerking at the party.
But didn't you, I mean, I don't know, I have moles, and they told me that you pulled down the back of your pants and showed him your tramp stamp? You didn't do that?
No.
You didn't, oh, check. I'm not taking off my shirt, but check, check this out.
Here is this.
Gross. Buck's disgusted over there.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah, I'm busy working on drops of you idiots.
I didn't know what to do.
You piece of garbage!
All right, we got
to
go.
I stand by my decision to walk away. I think we're on time.
Are we on
time? You're right on time. It is about time for a break.
Didn't we used to have a clock in here?
It's on your computer if you logged in.
Oh, there it is. 96 degrees out there.
Yeah, it's warm. It's muggy. Now we need a pool party. That day, no pool party.
Power rank the 911 call scumbags next on the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Bam. Take off your shirt and throw me. Take off your shorts and dunk me.
That's gonna stick around for a while.
Well, I liked that joke. Yeah. I thought it was good and well placed, and I'm glad Buck did too. Yeah. Take off your shirt and throw me.
It is weird roughhousing with kids that aren't your own.
Oh, I don't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, so especially you're talking about like 10-year-olds now.
Yeah,
maybe
little kids. But there's a that group, the family group, all of them, like all my kids are old and grown, but all of their kids are young. So I will say that they have a lot of little kids that do the throw me around thing a lot. And it's it can be a bit awkward at times because then you never know, like, if you hurt a kid or, you know, it's just...
Touch him inappropriately.
It's weird. It's weird.
But on purpose, right, Sook?
And one of them calls me Big Uncle, which is, again...
Gross.
Kind of strange. And they, you know...
Look, this is why I stay away from kids.
Big Uncle Sook.
No, they just call me Big Uncle. I'm like, how about just...
How about adults
just,
only.
How about just Jay? How about we go there? Or Uncle? Because then you get into Big Uncle, and, you know, Uncle can have a bad connotation. Is there a word that can go sideways faster than Uncle? Because everyone, there are a lot of creepy uncles out there. And, you know...
Why do uncles have such a bad rap?
Because there's a lot of bad ones.
I am an uncle, but... Yeah. Well, there's just a lot of bad dudes. Like, yes. Why is it uncles that are... Why is it always uncles?
Well, I think the idea is sometimes the uncle is the single non-father that it kind of has to be around because it's by blood, but no one wants him around. So you get the drunk uncle, you get the creepy uncle. You know, it's...
Yeah, but you have drunk dads and creepy dads. Like, dads get away with... Like, dads are like, oh, heroes, every dad is great. Yeah. Every uncle is terrible. That's dumb. Because they're all just dumb men. Some good dads, some bad. Some good uncles, some bad.
Yeah, someone's saying right here, Big Uncle Touchy. Exactly. You start out as Big Uncle. Next thing you know, you're Big Uncle Touchy.
Yeah, well, why don't they do Big Daddy Touchy?
Yeah,
you know, they don't. Yeah. They never do that. Everybody just assumes the dad's great.
The uncle does get hit with a lot of...
And they assume the uncle's drunk.
A lot of strays. Well, I mean, sometimes the uncle is drunk.
Yeah, I do that with my nieces.
Yeah.
They sent me a birthday card.
Yeah.
They're, what, 9 and 7? Mm-hmm. 10 and 8? And one of them said, you're so fun, I thought... sometimes I forget that you're actually not a kid. She said that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
Well, that's
I kind of felt like, is that, am I the creepy uncle? Like I.
Are you the Funkle though? Are you the
fun?
Oh,
I'm fun.
You're the Funkle.
Yeah.
The fun uncle.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, dad's always cranky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, I don't see him that often. So when I do see him, I try to. You know, have a good time.
Yeah. Well, I got this one too, in that, so like my, the step side of the family, I have step brothers and sisters who are all very nice people, and we don't really get to do much anymore. I don't really come to any family functions, but like when we used to go camping down to the beach, they're all very Mormon, and I was the only one that was not. So I would often, I would get explained to, and again, their kids were all very young, so there would always be awkward explanations.
I'm sorry.
So I remember, like, at one time, it would be like the 4th of July, and I overheard them explaining to the children that that was Uncle's cooler, and that the Uncle's cooler was not to be, not to be touched.
Yeah.
Or having explained away why Uncle has a cigar, or why, you know, and it was always like,
yeah, Uncle's like, different, honey. That is so lame.
It was always
it's so lame.
Can the kids not handle it?
Yeah, right. He's like, Uncle smokes cigars and drinks beer. He's actually pretty cool. You should try it. Here, kid, smoke this.
And that was kind of always my thing. Is like, I'm not gonna be like taking your kid behind the house and be like, hey, kid, try one of these.
I know. It's like, what?
Here's a Coors for you.
Okay, like, you drink. Big deal. Yeah. What does that mean?
Means that there had to be a conversation.
God. I'm starting to feel like Schultzy over here. I'm offended by all of this.
Oh. I said someone had a drunkle and an uncle big face. What's Uncle Big Face? Vancouver Ford text line. I get the drunkle, but I don't know what Uncle Big Face is.
Well, maybe they're just saying that was like the nickname that they got with it.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said, just always ask yourself, how would this sound if you read it out loud to a jury of your peers? Yeah, that's fair.
Well, it's a valid point.
YouTube chat says, the shows up to every Christmas with a new girlfriend, Uncle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've had that.
Yeah.
I've had that before.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I showed up with a bottle of wine once to Christmas. That didn't go over well at all. It's like, really? It's just...
Well, but wait a minute. They don't have to drink it.
Well, it's kind
mind
of my...
your own business.
Didn't go over well.
I need this bottle of wine to hang out with you.
A lot of things didn't go over well. And one of the most adorable ones, and this really did come from a good place, and I did think it was just, it was a sweetheart of a move. It was down there. We were down at the coast, and the house I was staying at, because everyone else kind of stayed together. And then, you know, I had a house kind of usually a couple streets away. And it was, I don't know, it was maybe two streets over.
Heathen.
And I believe over the course of the evening, I think I had had maybe like, I don't know, two, three beers.
Yeah, right. That means 15.
And I did get one of these. Hey, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but just so you know, I got you tonight. And I was like, huh? Like, what are we doing? Just want you to know, I'll drive you and anyone that needs to go home tonight. And it was like a really serious, touching moment, which I found adorable.
Who was that?
Oh, just a family member. It was one of the extended family. He did. We pulled me aside and did the really quiet, hushed tone. Like, you know, like, hey, just between me and you, I just want you to know. I
don't have to make a big deal of it or anything. We'll just be between you and me.
I got you.
And I did the I did like the hand on the shoulder and was like, means
thank you, thank you.
Like in my head, I'm like,
accept it wholeheartedly.
I turned and was like trying not to die laughing. I was like, I got this, thank you, because we had to use our quiet, you know, you got to use the quiet serious voice, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, I'm drinking tonight.
Well, when you know, it's when you're the outlier, it can be it can be a weird dynamic when you're the only one.
Well, it doesn't have to be. They make it weird.
That's true. But
I mean, it's like, it's not a weird thing. Well, it's a very normal thing. They're the weird ones. Yeah. F that.
I like that this is the rubs. This is ridiculous.
Pissed off about that. I just hate that crap. Get out of here with your judgy bullsh. Shove it right up your ass.
They are all very nice people for the most part.
Yeah, but are they? Are they? No, they're not. They're nice to your face.
That is true.
You freaking bitch!
I just like that somewhere a conversation had to be had about Uncle's cooler.
Hey, this guy's right. Jesus turned water into wine. What further proof does one need that alcohol is okay and approved?
He's boom! Right. And it is Christmas time.
So I've got 911 caller news.
Yeah, let's go.
So I've got three of them here, and I think they're all awful people. But
oh, so not the 911 operator, the person calling.
No, the callers, yeah.
Oh.
They're using 911.
Yeah, for inappropriate the wrong reasons.
So we've got, so you power rank these, okay? Who's the biggest scumbag?
All right.
One is a woman in Florida who was arrested because she placed 11,000 crude and expletive-filled calls to 911 because she wanted to harass police employees.
That's a lot of 911 calls.
Yeah, 11,000.
How did, over what period of time, and how did it get to 11,000? Can't you get in trouble before that? When I was a kid, I used to call 911 when I was like four because I thought it was fun, and the police showed up at my house. That didn't go over so well. I learned a lesson that day.
They don't mess around. Yeah, Carla Jefferson, she's been arrested twice for nonstop harassing phone calls.
Huh. 11? How long? I just can't get over 11,000 calls. I don't know if I've made 11,000 calls in my life.
She's committed. Yeah, they're saying that it's actually 12,512.
Oh, my God.
Accounting for about 10% of all the calls coming into the department's non-emergency number.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it was the non-emergency number,
yeah,
at least, right?
It was non-emergency.
So she just, and so she would just call up and then just curse at people?
Yeah, she doesn't have any service needs. She just harasses and cusses them out and degrades them.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's her there. What?
Well, she is a scumbag at the same time. I'm kind of impressed at
the commitment.
The commitment.
Committed to the bit.
Yeah, that's a... I kind of want to hear her do this, or at least see like the joy she takes from it. Her mugshot. She looks very happy.
Yeah, she's got issues.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. So that woman was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
This one is in Texas. She calls 911 to report her car got stolen, which was true.
Okay.
But she says there was a child inside, which was not true. She does not have a child. She just wanted them to find the car faster.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh.
What do you think about that?
Put my issue at the top of the list with something fake and serious.
Gosh, I'm like, well, you know, hey, to be fair, they're not looking for her car.
No, they're looking for the kid.
It's a quality tactic.
It is a quality tactic.
But that's like going to the ER and saying, I have chest pains, and then you get seen immediately. Like,
look.
No, that's not a bad tactic either.
Look,
well,
it's
putting other people behind you for no reason.
We may have done that before with my mom.
Did you? Well, sometimes, yeah. It's all what you say.
Yes.
Gets you through.
I was told by a medical professional, my mom was in some trouble. We needed to get her seen, and this was like COVID, and it was tough. And we were told maybe if we just say certain things, we can get
it. Couple phrases to do it.
That's right.
Do not say that your child has been kidnapped when they have not been, but maybe that was a really cool car. Maybe it was like a PT Cruiser with wood paneling, and she needed to get that car back. Maybe she had a bunch of weed in the car. I don't know. But that is did she even have kids?
No.
Oh.
She didn't even exist, the kid. Stupid kid.
Did they find the car?
Yes.
By the way, that goes to the list. While I appreciate it, I think all of these I'm going to appreciate in some way. That's near the top for the scumbag move.
You think that's worse than the 12,000 calls?
100%. Like, it's one thing to call and just yell at people. It's a whole other thing to have cops seriously, like an Amber Alert and panicking.
Drop everything they're doing
to look for you. And by the way,
Amber Alert.
From the look of her mugshot.
That's her there.
She doesn't have a nice car.
No.
That's a piece of crap car. That's a 1992 Dude, Toyota Celica.
She just had nothing better to do that day than light a fire under their ass.
Yeah.
She looks evil.
Yeah,
she looks like her head's about to spin around.
A little bit.
Isn't it?
I bet she's fun.
What's her name? I need to Google
her. Her name is Stacy Deshae Marie Smith.
Yeah.
She's from El Paso.
Yeah.
She's a 19-year-old Texas woman arrested, allegedly inventing a fictitious child to get police to search for her friend's car that was stolen.
Not even her car. Interesting.
Yeah,
that's near the top. That's
number
top.
One.
That's number one.
Oh, she looks scary. Yeah.
Doesn't she though? She looks like a witch.
Yeah, it looks like she practices Wiccan.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Right up Sook's alley.
Right there with the Mountain Dew.
She hangs out at Hey Love.
Oh no, that's a Kelly's girl right there. That's 100%.
Okay, then the third one is she's from South Carolina. She's a fast food manager. She files a false report claiming to have been robbed of the store's bank deposits.
Okay.
She just stole the bank deposits.
Oh. Well.
So what do you think about that?
Well, again, do we have cameras, people. Like, everything's on film now. All right, here's my scumbag ranking. She's just dumb. Scumbag ranking, the kidnapped kid, number one. I'm going with the cursing lady, and then this lady isn't a scumbag. She's just a dumbass.
Yeah. There she is, if you see her.
Gosh, why do they all just have this?
She looks like an Arby's fast food manager.
Yeah.
It was an Arby's.
That makes sense. I love that she thought she was going to get away
with it.
She
says, we've been robbed! We've been robbed! And she had the bags in her car. Yeah.
I love, too, that you realize the first thing that the cops are going to do is they're going to come in and be like, okay, let's look at the security footage. Oh, here's the lady taking them. Here's the lady taking them out to the car. I want to believe that whatever sergeant was out there was like, this dumb bitch better not have him in the car. She better have hit him. And then the guy looks in the backseat of the car and is like, you.
There they are.
You son
of an aloof bitch. $3,800 in cash. And they reviewed the videotape and they were like, you weren't robbed. So. All right, so you're going.
I'm definitive about it.
Fake child one.
Yeah.
12,000 calls.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah, the other one's just. She's
Arby's
just,
lady.
She's just dumb and.
Three.
She's slow. There may be something's going on in there. And I'm going to go eighth grade, maybe? Ninth?
What?
Yeah, there's no GED there.
Oh.
Education. No, I thought you were talking about their age. Wait, I'm like, how does that work?
No. I'm guessing at some point the parachute got pulled in the schooling. And in South Carolina, she's probably from the same neighborhood of that idiot that blew his head off with the mortar.
Yeah, someone invited her to smoke cigarettes by the tracks, and she never went back to class.
Yeah, very, very, very similar.
Now, here's someone who says, I work in the ER. People call us every day just to harass us and yell at us and swear at us. Happens all the time.
What? Are you kidding me?
That's weird.
Call any other entity than the people, like the police and the hospitals. Jesus.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I think it's weird that, can you get through to the ER? Like, don't they have a call center?
I don't know.
Like, you can't just.
I've never tried to call the ER.
Well, like, if some nurse is, like, running around with, like, a chicken with his head cut off or her head cut off in the ER, she's not stopping. Hello, St. Vincent's
Hospital. You usually have someone working the desk, though.
Well, that's what I mean. So how does this person who works in the ER even answer the phone?
Well, it's probably just either they hear every day from someone that's calling or, you know, something along those lines. I'm sure the word gets passed around the ER. Or maybe they are the person that has to answer the phone. I don't know. Like, if I called the hospital and they're like, hey, which department? Can I say ER?
Yeah, they would put you through. Like, there's someone that's manning a phone there that's saying, oh, like, I'm trying to check in on so-and-so. And they're like, let me see if I can find them for you. There's someone whose job that is.
I've never even thought about yelling at someone in the ER, but, you know. I like to yell at, I do yell at one particular cop a lot, but that's my buddy. But I do say horrible things to him, but they're out of love. But that's more of a personal cell phone sort of thing.
I tell you what, those ER... The people that work in the ER, they're angels.
Yes.
They're absolute angels.
Yes.
The crap that they have to put up with,
yeah.
it's you wouldn't believe it.
No.
My kid is ER adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nurse at OHSU, and he's so what's the it's like ED observation deck. So it's people who come to the ER and then have to be observed before they figure out where they're going to put them.
Sure.
And he's in that unit.
Yeah.
And he even from that unit tells horror stories. These people are all, and my brother's a ER nurse as well.
Yeah.
They tell horror stories of how they're treated. It's just sickening.
Yeah. It's bad.
Look at that. You seen that on YouTube?
Look at that
bitch.
Right there.
Look at that.
Look at that thing going right up.
Hell yeah. So we're back in studio. We were at PDXYZ earlier doing the show.
The size of that thing.
Yeah, there's a big giant banner of me because, well, hello.
Why wouldn't there?
And so it's now being brought in here by Tara, and she's going to hang it up.
Yeah, that thing's
in
going
the
up.
Studio.
That thing's going up in the studio.
Yeah. Hopefully it will.
You know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Could you leave it alone, please?
Oh, well, I will, but other people will not. Well, already, look, you know that there's already some bitter feelings and resentment towards the Asahi brand. And this is only going to further it. I'm guessing that this is going
to... Well, I'm asking everyone to be an adult.
This is going to be a high, hard one. Right?
That will not be heard.
Yeah. Dirt and Sprague are going to take this
true
personally.
Story.
Which I'm kind of excited about.
Well, I didn't see a banner of them.
Exactly.
Wait till I make one and deface it. All right.
Ah!
I think that's how I'd rank them, too. Isachi.
Yeah.
Those three.
Yeah. Someone said you need to do a public service and start taking calls again. This is why we don't take calls.
No, we don't.
Yeah, sometimes you just, you know, calls aren't good for anybody. No one wins with that.
Have you noticed how few shows take calls now?
Yeah, it's kind of just died.
I'd like to take credit for some of that.
You were ahead of the curve.
We were.
Yes.
We did this years ago.
Years.
We were like, callers
years.
Suck.
Whoever
and,
came up with the idea of a text line, though, was really good because then it allows you to filter the, like, you can read the best comments and you can leave out the terrible ones.
Well, there was a dead zone period between, like, emails and text line.
I remember when we started, we had the office automation fax line.
Pacific Office Automation.
Yeah.
The fax line.
Then we had an email.
People
thing
could fax you their ideas and thoughts?
Yeah. Ian Furness got one day, and it was everybody was like, oh my God, somebody faxed in their take.
Yeah. And then we had the email. We had the Weiner line for a while.
Email was big. I remember when Colin was here, he got a lot of emails and would read them. And then text line was years later. But yes, all the caller wants to do is hear themselves on the radio.
Yes.
And it's rarely enhancing to the program.
No. And yet, okay, man, Paul Feinbaum makes a gajillion dollars a year off of doing that.
That's different. And Jim Rome, too.
Yep.
I mean, look, if that's your bit, you can do it well. But it's, you know, come on, man. We're just throwing some guy from... Estacada on the line? No, thanks. I don't care what he thinks.
I do love, one of my favorite things is if you're driving back from a Mariner game or whatever, and you happen to, because maybe you were listening to the game on the way up or whatever, the pregame, and I love the post-game call.
Yes.
From.
Yes, yes.
From Sue in, Sue in Bellingham. Those are some of the best.
Well, I really enjoy the show.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Some of those are the best things in radio history.
When, like, Bill and Renton would like to change, like, trade Josh Rojas for, I don't know, like, Pete Alonso. And you're like, oh, great idea, Bill and Renton, but that's not the way this works.
Yeah, you'll be talking about something very specific, and you go, Bill and Renton, you're on the air. Hello?
Oh, hey.
Oh,
am I on the air?
Hey guys.
Turn your
radio down.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Pause, long wait.
Hello?
Did you call to ask us how we were doing?
How you guys doing? Hey, love the show, guys. Love the show. You guys are great. Hey, you know, so back in 1970... Shoot me! God! The worst.
It's phenomenal. I love it. And the older,
and that's how it went.
And the older the person, and especially if it's an old grandma, I just can't get enough. Just inject, and you can hear the caller, like, or the host, like, not wanting to be rude. Oh, it's great.
Are you out of your mind?
Did I tell you about? I think I did. I told the story on the air of the time I called into the Royals post game show.
Yes,
as a kid. Yeah,
I would have loved listening to that.
Well, what you would have loved is the only thing that I remember, and that is, well, I remember the topic that I talked about, but I do remember the disdain in the host's voices because of this very thing. So I don't know how old I am. Early teens, maybe 11, 12, something. I don't know. But I love to listen to the Royals games.
Yeah.
And, man, the Royals post-game show hosts and their listeners needed to hear my hot take about Shane Mack.
Yes.
I felt so strongly.
You were ready to burn up those airwaves.
Shane Mack is underrated, okay? And so I called in, and, of course, they were talking. I wasn't listening. I'm just really fired up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on
there. Tonight's the night I get through about Shane Mack.
Yep, I'm going to get in. And I sit on hold, and I wait, and I'm like, yeah. And they take my call, and I'm like, guys, I just wanted to let you know Shane Mack's really underrated. And they're like, what? We're not even talking. Thanks. Thanks for the call. And this is why no one takes calls. Right there. I was the start of it all.
Did it break your heart?
Yes. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, well, but he is underrated. Why didn't they comment on it?
What are you talking about?
Well, Shane? They don't want to talk about that. They're talking. I don't know what they're talking about.
Then why take the calls and that's your point?
Well, exactly. That's my point.
I've never called in, but I was driving with my buddy years ago, who is a big, he's a big liberal, like super duper liberal.
Snowflake.
And he would hate listen to Lars Larson. And I never understood it. I was like, dude, you drive yourself crazy with this. But he would listen to Lars Larson. And Lars used to do I don't remember what day it was, but Lars would do a, like, dissenters go to the front. Like,
yeah, he does that sometimes.
Yeah,
I've heard him. He'll put people that disagree with him on there.
Yeah. So he we're driving, and he's going to call Lars Larson.
He never lets him talk, but gets him on there.
But he was going to call Lars, and he was all worked up. I think it was something about guns or something. I don't even remember.
No way.
And he was just going to rip Lars a new one. And Lars just
torched him.
And it got so bad, my buddy, he started, like, stammering, you know? Like, he couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, he just was losing it. And he was like, and so he just hung up. And then Lars made fun of him for hanging up. And, oh, my God, I thought I was going to pee my pants. And my buddy was just pissed.
Shut up.
It's kind of
on him, though, right?
Watching someone flame out.
You got to handle it.
After, like, 10 minutes of seething anger, and you're like, I'm going to teach this blowhard a lesson.
No, you're not.
No,
He's a pro, man. Not everybody can go toe-to-toe with Lars Larson, and particularly not you.
Someone in the YouTube chat says, I'll never forget calling into the fan in 2006 for the mock draft and selecting Chad Greenway.
That's right.
Hell yeah. Chad Greenway. God.
Ooh,
well,
boy.
We don't take calls.
No.
A little bit of a tangent
there.
Someone
saying Schulze produced Lars Larson?
Yeah.
Boy, we got to talk about that sometime.
Yeah, he's talked about it.
I don't remember that.
I've got some Lars stories.
Yeah,
Lars
tried to sign me an autograph once.
Yeah.
He took out a headshot. He was going to sign it for me when I said hi.
Yeah, dude.
We were at, like, an outdoorsman show.
All right, we got to go. Are we on SportsCenter?
We are on SportsCenter.
All right, let's go to Buck with SportsCenter. By the way, I have a very embarrassing admission here.
Yes.
I looked up Shane Mack's stats.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did too. Oh, yeah. So he's good.
I looked up Shane Mack.
300 career 300 hitter.
Yeah. He only played with the Royals for 1 year.
Yeah, and you know, did you see the year? That was 1998.
How old were you?
23. I thought I was like 12.
You remembered as if you got taken to school as a little teen.
Yes.
A little tween.
Hey, to be fair, he hit 280.
Yeah, he was good.
280 with...
By the way, a Twins fan agrees with me. A Twins fan texted in. He's like, oh, yeah, I agree. Shane Mack, underrated. Yeah. He hit 315 for them.
Boy, I would
He was
not,
good.
Yeah, Shane Mack, better than you think. I love random baseball play. Shane Mack. You're like, oh, I remember Shane Mack. Robbie Thompson, if you will.
Robbie Thompson was a Giant.
I remember, like, good. I liked the Giants. Before Buck and Dirt, I had nothing against the Giants. Growing up, Will Clark, Robbie Thompson.
They were a gritty squad before Barry Bonds got there. They had a Rod Beck, big shooter.
Yeah. Then they became a bunch of bitches.
Isn't Rod Beck dead?
He is.
I think Rod Beck is dead. drugs or cancer? Do we?
I think he just lived really hard. I think he smoked. I think he drank a lot.
Shooter. They called him Shooter.
Big
he
shooter.
Was the one that lived out behind the stadium in a van or something.
I think he lived at like an RV park in the off season. Like it was just his chosen thing. But I think he'd go to spring training and he'd either bring his RV and he'd just like live behind the stadium. I don't think it was in San Francisco, but
it said that they did not publicly disclose his cause of death, but Phoenix police say they did not suspect foul play.
Yeah.
He had a history of substance abuse, went into drug rehab only months before his career ended. Bruce Bochy said, we tried everything we could to help him.
Beck's ex-wife stated she believed his death to be drug-related. Cocaine and heroin were found in his bedroom.
There you go.
So, there you go.
Damn, bro.
That was a hard life. I bet you that guy had a good time. Too good of a time. Can't do that.
All right, we got to wrap it up. I see Andrew Nemec out there. He's getting ready to come in and do a show.
Let's go.
Here on the show. Or on the fan. He's coming up. I don't know. We'll wrap it up next on the fan. All right, so we got to thank PDXYZ for having us out. That was cool. Alex Molden was great. What else? I had Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, thank you to you.
Yeah, thanks to me.
You were fantastic. You led panel discussions. We have giant poster of your head now.
Take off your shirt and throw me.
Yeah. We've learned that Shane Mack is indeed underrated. And that you weren't 11 years old. You were 23.
Isn't that funny how you remember things?
Oh, yeah.
23.
Well, I told you, one of the best books I ever read was a book on memories and how... Like your memory is one of the least reliable things in the world.
It's the Matt Lauer bit.
Yeah. Or it wasn't Matt Lauer. It was Brian Williams.
Or Brian Williams, Shot down in a Blackhawk or something. Or shot at.
Isn't it crazy to think that, and they, some people say that this could be up to like 75 to 85% of your memories are not close to what happened. That as time goes on, you don't remember what happened. You just remember your memory of what happened. And that's everybody. Which is why, like, history books, like, you know, especially like ancient history, you always got to take everything with a little, the winners got to write the history, but of course, a lot of people love what's written down in old books, and we, nothing's going to change me. Maybe not the best way.
Tomorrow we'll have Joey Harrington on the air, I think.
Yeah, he was mad at you.
We think. Well, see if my trip to Pebble actually one-ups him. I'm guessing it won't.
See if he's been to Pebble.
And you know what? I dropped the ball in that last week, or maybe Suk and I both did, but you gave us strict orders to ask what the figure was that he invested in the Thorns.
Yeah.
And we did not get to that, so we're going to have to ask
we'll
him.
We'll ask him.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
We know he's not going to tell us, but we still have to ask.
He said it was a very, very small amount.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, he was not.
Well, but it wasn't $10 either.
What does that mean?
It wasn't $10. He just said it was not a major investment.
20 G's? 50 G's?
I don't know.
700 G's?
He said it was a drop in the bucket for
What's small for that guy?
Couldn't tell you. Good luck getting it out of him, though.
Well, as a journalist, it's my duty to try.
See what you can do. Like when you asked Carrie Walsh how much she made. It didn't go over so well.
No, she was a bitch. Look, I get it. You don't have to...
Bitch!
You don't have to answer the question, but you have to be so offended.
Bitch.
She sucks.
Olympic gold medalist.
Freaking punch it, bitch!
And bronze. One gold, one bronze.
How old is she now?
Oh, gosh.
You think she still thinks about me?
She's 45.
I bet she does.
I'm guessing not, but you never know.
Isn't she married to someone famous?
No, that was Misty May Traynor, wasn't it?
Who's she married to?
She was married to a baseball player, Matt Traynor.
Oh. Okay. Who's Kerry Walsh's husband?
I don't know.
Someone Casey, Jennings, Casey because she's Kerry Walsh Jennings.
He's a pro beach volleyball player as well.
All right, Andrew Nemec coming up next. We're back tomorrow. 3-7 on the Fake Night. You come join us and I got a woman down in the tunnel trying to make it. Turning all the night time into the day. Do the song about a sweet love moment. Do the song about the night. Maybe do the walk. Do the walk of life. Maybe do the walk of life.
the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.